The Plagues of Egypt Continued, Chapter 32. Mother, mother, I have so much pain, help me, a young sorrowful voice complains. Be a little quiet, darling, mother will help you, do not cry so loudly, the mother said comfortingly, and she carefully washed the painful boils which were on her child. Her own body was full of the same ugly, painful boils. These boils were on her head, arms, legs, and all over. She herself scarcely could stand on her feet from the pain, but she bit her lips and helped her child. Her husband sat in the same room. He groaned softly and wiped the sweat from his forehead. Neither did he know what to do and where to go, for he also was covered with those terrible boils. This was so in every house of the Egyptians. The men, women, and children were entirely covered with boils. Even the cattle that remained alive, the ones that did not die from the dreadful pestilence, roared and lowed from the pain. Even the brute creatures were covered with boils. Pharaoh sits within his splendid palace, suppressing his rage because of the pain, for the king is not spared either. His wife, his children, his servants, the court maidens, yes, even the magicians cannot stand due to the malignant boils. This is the sixth plague, which is boils on man and beast. All the other plagues did not help. Now God sends another punishment. Pharaoh was not forewarned this time. Upon God's command, Moses and Aaron took a few handfuls of ashes from the furnace and sprinkled the ashes toward heaven. By this simple means, the dreadful punishment of boils came upon the land of Egypt. There were no boils upon the Israelites. There we do not hear any pitiable weeping of children, because God, the Lord, caused this punishment to come only upon the land of Egypt. Pharaoh sits upon the throne. He is in deep thought. All this misery is his own fault. Will he? But he shakes his head. No, no, he mumbles. I will not do it. I will never do it. Continually he refuses to obey the command of the Lord. Thick dark clouds are hanging over Egypt. From time to time the flash of lightning shoots down and the thunder rolls. It is getting darker in Egypt. Rumbling thunderclaps resound, and they follow each other in rapid succession. It is distressing weather. Suddenly, it begins to hail. Large, heavy hailstones fall and destroy everything. Many fields were nice and green. Flax was planted, and that was in bloom and forming pods, and the ears could be seen growing in the barley. Now it is destroyed with one blow, smashed to pieces. It promised so much, but nothing will come of it now. The leaves on the trees are torn to pieces by the hail. The few animals which were still in the pastures run around furiously, frantic from the pain. The hailstones wound them, making the blood run out. Finally, with a groan, they sink to the ground and die. The people who are working in the fields try to run home in a hurry, but it is too late. They do not reach their home in safety, but they are struck by the hail and killed. Besides, the lightning strikes time and again, Great balls of fire mingled with the hail fall down upon the land. Fire breaks out in many places. This is a new plague, a new punishment. This is already the seventh plague. The Lord had warned Pharaoh the previous day. Moses and Aaron told him exactly how and what was going to happen. They advised Pharaoh and the Egyptians to remain indoors and to keep their cattle in the stables. Some of them listened and obeyed, and they were spared. Others laughed and mocked with it. They went to their fields and left their cattle out, even though they were warned. And they and their cattle died. Thus, it was their own fault. Pharaoh again received time to think it over, but he did not take heed to the warning. Then God sent the punishment of hail and fire. It was terrifying, horrifying. Egypt never experienced anything like it before. The sun shone in the land of Goshen by the Israelites, and there they had no thunder or hail. Pharaoh stands before his window and watches the destruction. He trembles and shakes. In his fear, he calls for Moses and Aaron, and they come. Listen to Pharaoh's voice as he speaks with trembling lips and a deathly pale face. I have sinned. The Lord is righteous. I and my people are wicked. Now Pharaoh doesn't say, who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. Oh no, he doesn't dare to, for now he knows the God of Israelites in his dreadful punishments. Entreat the Lord, he pleads. It is enough. You may have your freedom. I will let you go. But pray and plead that these mighty thunderings and hail may cease. Moses and Aaron promise this and leave. When they come outside the city, Moses spreads his hands toward heaven and speaks to God. And suddenly the thunder and hail cease, the clouds break, and the sun comes out. But, how is it possible? When Pharaoh saw that the plague ceased, he again hardened his heart. He broke his promise again. The Israelites were not permitted to go. Nothing doing. I will not let them go, he grumbles maliciously. A storm blew violently over Egypt. The gusts of wind hit against the houses and made the trees bend and crack. But the Egyptians were sleeping soundly. Still, if they had known what would follow upon this windstorm, then they would not have gone to sleep so peacefully. When the light of the following morning arose, dark clouds appeared upon the horizon. No doubt the Egyptians were afraid. Probably they feared that it again would begin to thunder and hail. But when those thick clouds came near, it became evident that they were not clouds which held water, but they were clouds of locusts. Great swarms of these locusts fell upon Egypt. Everything was covered with a thick layer of them. The flax and the barley were destroyed by the hail, but the wheat and the spelt, a cereal intermediate between wheat and barley, had not been destroyed. But now these fields of wheat and spelt were eaten bare by the locusts. The torn leaves on the trees were eaten off to the last shreds. Yes, they even came into the houses of the Egyptians, and chewed the wood to pieces. It was a catastrophe. Nothing, really nothing, was spared. The last small sprout in the pastures was chewed off. The Egyptians watched all this with fear and fright. There were a few Egyptians who knew ahead of time that this was going to happen. They were the king and his servants, for the Lord was so good that he warned Pharaoh for the third time. Upon God's command, Moses and Aaron went to the royal palace the day before and said to Pharaoh that he must let the people of Israel go. "You must know for yourself," they had said, "but if you will not let them go, large locusts will come, which will eat everything which has escaped the hail." After they said this, they turned around and went away. They didn't wait for an answer. Then Pharaoh's servants came to the king and said, "Let that people go. Don't you see that Egypt is destroyed? If you continue to refuse, it will get worse." Then the king called for Moses and Aaron to come and said, "Go, serve the Lord your God." "But who are they that shall go?" Upon which Moses answered, "Everyone, no one may remain behind." Pharaoh shook his head in anger and said, "No use talking. Your little children must remain here." Pharaoh said this because he knew that the Israelites would then have to return. Then Moses and Aaron were driven from Pharaoh's presence. "Stretch your hand out over Egypt," the divine command resounds. Suddenly the wind began to blow violently from the east. Yes, it began to storm, and the locusts came with this storm. They destroyed everything which still remained after the hail. Pharaoh did not think it would be so terrible. Probably he had a hope that it wouldn't be so bad. However, he was mistaken in that, for it was not as he expected. Moses and Aaron were immediately called. "I have sinned," Pharaoh said. "Pray fervently to God that he may take away from me this death only." "Do you hear that, children?" he said, "this death. This must have been dreadful, don't you think?" Moses did this, and God answered him immediately. A strong west wind came, and this wind took away the locusts and cast them into the sea. No locusts were in the land of Goshen. Everything there was green and flourishing. However, in Egypt itself, and there was really nothing anymore. Egypt had become a great wilderness, all due to their own fault. When the eighth plague of locusts disappeared, Pharaoh again refused to let the children of Israel go. He clenched his fist in powerless rage. He stamped his feet upon the ground in madness. While his eyes sparkled ominously, he grumbled, "I still will not do it." The night and the darkness always bring something frightening with them. If you wake up at night and it is very dark and quiet in your house, then most of the time you are a little afraid, aren't you? Everything seems to be different when it is light. You hear all kinds of odd, strange sounds, and you tremble, while often it is only the creaking of a door or some other noise. In the daytime, you take no notice of it. You don't even hear it. But at night, it is different. But when the light of morning comes, then all fear has disappeared. And you know, yes, you even depend upon it that the following morning it will be light. For isn't that the usual way? And isn't it supposed to be that way? It was also dark in Egypt, for it was night there too. But something happened there which was very astonishing. It remained dark. The morning light did not come. The Egyptians were awake long ago, for it was morning. Other mornings the sun would be shining, but not that morning. This dreadful darkness in Egypt lasted for 3 days and three nights. We read in the Bible, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place. It was so dark that they didn't dare move. This surely was very alarming to them, and these days seemed to last so long. The little children became hungry and thirsty. They began to cry and call for their mother, but their mother did not come. She could not come, for it was so dark. Neither could their mother get any food or prepare it, for she couldn't find anything in the dark. This was such an appalling punishment. It is the ninth plague which God sent upon Egypt because Pharaoh would not give in. Pharaoh continually refused to let the Israelites go. While he was in distress, he promised to do it, but afterwards he would not. With some of the former plagues, the Egyptians had pain. Think about the flies and the sore boils. With other plagues, they suffered loss, for their cattle died and their fields were laid waste. This plague didn't give them pain, neither did they lose anything. Still, this punishment was the worst one. Probably you will ask, why was it? Well, because with this ninth plague, the Egyptians lived in the most dreadful fear for 3 days and three nights. Oh, will it ever get light again? Will the sun ever shine again? These questions they asked thousands of times. They were so afraid. They were filled with terror. And that was much worse than the sting of a wasp or the pain of boils. However, it was light with the Israelites in the land of Goshen. The sun shone there, and the children played as usual. All the plagues of the Egyptians did not strike them. The Lord took care of his people. It is still the same today, boys and girls. The Lord will always take care of his people. You surely would be greatly privileged if you also belong to that people of God. Do you ever ask for it? At last it again became light. The Egyptians certainly were glad. Everyone was deeply impressed by this plague. Pharaoh was too, for this wicked king frightened exceedingly. He also thought that it might always remain dark. Therefore, he immediately called Moses and Aaron. You may go, he said. Your wives and children may go too. Indeed, does Pharaoh give in now? Doesn't he refuse anymore? Almost. But listen to what he says with it. Your sheep and oxen must remain. They cannot go. But Moses and Aaron refuse. No, they say, our sheep and oxen must also go. Everything that we have must go. Nothing shall remain. Not even a hoof shall remain behind. We would say, not one animal can stay behind. Oh, look once. See how terribly angry Pharaoh becomes. In wrath he shakes his head and snaps at them. I will not do it. I will never do it. See to it that you go. If you dare risk coming here another time, you will be slain. Go now, get. He almost screamed these words, red with rage. Thus, Pharaoh refused and would not give in. Pharaoh, do you think that you can win against God? No, never.